your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Last update on the left.
Are you guys ready?
Ready.
I have three more pretzels to eat.
Go ahead.
Force me down your fucking throat. Force me down your fucking thick, duty, dookie filled throat. You fucking piece of shit.
I am.
Not a piece of shit.
I have my pretzels in my mouth. It's been better. It's longer.
Good, you're a good man. You're a good man.
No, we can start. This is all part of the show.
You're a good man. It's just you don't have to do this. Man.
I'm a scary fan. Oh, something.
Yeah, that's Ed Larson.
Yeah, it is.
He started it.
No, he did. I'm Ed Larson. I know.
And he said before we began, he was like, I've got three more princes I got to eat.
I got to eat my princes and me and my princes. We're talking about the Unabomber. Ted Kaczynski would want me to have these pretzels.
No, he wouldn't. No, he absolutely would not, because those pretzels are a product of industrial society, man.
Yeah, what do you eat? Fucking rocks?
Yes! Rocks and sticks and frogs and birds.
Birds.
What did he eat, though?
You know,
he's a vegetarian.
Whatever he found, he was a forager.
Oh. But he was largely a vegetarian. I actually was just reading about this because of his time in prison. He was a vegetarian. He would go and he would source roots and stuff. He wasn't eating well. He'd also go into town.
He didn't look great.
No. He would go into town, I think, once every couple of months, and he would get stuff like rice and stuff. Like, that's what he mostly ate.
Yeah.
He wasn't a big eater. He was very, very skinny. This is the last update in the left. And we came together today to talk into microphones.
Yeah.
About
how you should never fucking trust your in-laws, man.
Fucking your brother's gonna sell you out. Fucking he knows your dumb shit phrases, man.
Okay, yeah.
But we wanted to cover an update on, I've always been fascinated with the life of serial killers in jail.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it is. I think it's because, like, the more you get into a true crime, I think I am to true crime what you are to music now, Marcus.
Okay.
Where you like music so much that now the music you listen to is stuff like, cluck, cluck. Cluck, 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 like a man making the words of the sound of a chicken.
I need to introduce you to Karl Heinz Stockhausen. There's this piece called Hymnen. It's only like, 54 minutes long.
Yeah, and it's And then you're going to hear that they've left the microphones on for a while. They've gone to lunch. You hear them all like, and they're all like doing and speaking in German. You hear them like clinking.
Actually, that did happen on a Can song called
See?
Where a child like wandered in to the room while they're recording, and she screams and there's a dog barking at one point.
But again, Can makes it funky.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
They do it well.
But I am now into the true crime sphere where it's not bored just by the crimes themselves. I love the crimes. Love the crimes, and I love researching about the criminals, but I'm fascinated about the fact that, like, once serial killers go into the fucking closet, once they're in jail, we largely don't pay attention to them. And I think that, like, as people that are consumers of true crime, you kind of forget that they even exist because they went away, and you're like, oh, the part that was interesting is over. But no, that's not true. Because I think it's actually fascinating what a lot of these guys do behind bars. Because Richard Ramirez, perfect example.
Netting.
Once he got netting and netting and netting and netting. Well, Richard Ramirez, he would go and he created sort of like a loose sort of cult following after his time in jail where he'd get
Let me tell you about this. I got an idea. Day stalking.
Listen. And during the day, it takes place from 9 to 5. I day stalk an office each day. I have to be there at 8:45. I have an hour where I'm allowed to lunch stalk some salad.
You'd be surprised after you don't have access to intravenous cocaine anymore just how exhausting night stalking is.
You wouldn't even believe. The coffee's not doing it. 5-hour energy drink isn't doing it. But he started.
I love a matinee.
But he talked about, he created like a little cult where he had these little incel dudes where they would write letters, they would fantasize about what they would all wish they could do to women together. They would send him like pornography, but he kind of had this like crew, John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
He used people like Herbert Mullen. Like, he used fellow lower-level serial killers to do his grunt work from inside of prison. John Wayne Gacy would have them paint his paintings for him. He had a whole production system where he had, like, other famous serial killers. When I believe one of the Chicago Rippers was another one of them, that they would paint his paintings for him. But today we wanted to hit upon a guy that we lost too soon. It's Ted Kaczynski. We lost him. God, I miss him.
I believe we lost him at the young age of 81.
Wow. I don't know. My compass. He was.
Is it
my North Star?
Yeah. Yeah. If you have stage 4 rectal cancer, is it suicide? I don't know.
So let's talk about it.
Let's talk. I mean, Ted Kaczynski killed 3 people, injured 23 over the course of, God, what, 30 years, 20 years, something like that?
Let me look over this season of crimes. He's also known as the, you love him, you miss him, the Unabomber.
Ba-da-da,
they wasn't entirely incorrect domestic terrorist. Now, this is, he's fine.
That's the problem with him, is that, like, you read Industrial Society and Its Future Now, and you're like, well.
There's some bad stuff in there. The span of crimes, it was 17 years. It was from 1978 to 1995.
Wow, you did that math in your head like that? You can look at 78 to 95, and you can just be like, that's 17?
Well, what I do is I subtract back. I take 5 away from 90. I get to 90, and then I go to the number, right? I get to a 0, and then I add back the old number.
Wow.
You know, Ted Kaczynski hated math.
No, it's the opposite.
No, he was good at it, but he hated it. He said it was boring.
Well, he was.
He said, I'm not going to stay in college playing games.
Well, it's because he got his mind destroyed by MKUltra.
But what's incredible is that one of his papers that he published while he was studying math is still used today. It's still cited.
Yes.
Like, it was a revolutionary paper. The man was an absolute genius.
And so, we did an entire series on Ted Kaczynski. You can go watch the television series where I believe Paul Bettany played him.
Paul Bettany. Did you watch it?
Yes, I did a little bit for when the last time we were doing some update. I think it was when he died. I was watching that series. It's bad.
I liked it.
He's too sexy.
I know.
It's Paul Bettany.
He's definitely skinny.
Yes, he's definitely skinny.
He's not skinny enough. Ted Kaczynski, Paul Bettany's obviously eating 100 milligrams of protein every day. Yeah. He has abs. Ted Kaczynski should be, he's shaped like a rigatoni. Like, Ted Kaczynski is not supposed, he has no muscle definition. Yeah. Paul Bettany's out there, he's got the cum gutters.
Yeah,
he looks good with the scraggle beard.
Yeah.
He does play a robot.
He does.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was that move, and that made him look kind of sexy.
It made him look, it made him look far sexier and far more appealing than he really was.
Because he
but
was
as
not.
Far as a TV show goes, Manhunt, pretty good.
It was good. So he got pulled out of a shed in Montana. Because
I saw the shed. You ever see the shed?
Yes, we'll talk about news. It. Let's get there. Yeah, okay. we'll get there. He got pulled out of a shed in Montana. Largely because his brother caught him, because I believe that he had used the phrase, you can have your cake and eat it too.
He said, you can eat your cake and have it too.
And it was a mistake, right? Like, he fucked up the phrase, which is how his brother recognized him from his letters to the police and his manifesto, because he said this phrase. And so he got picked up. So now, like, we know that he was arrested. One thing that when he was picked up is that he was so smelly that some of the officers vomited.
Wow.
He's a smelly,
that's so impressive.
Smelly boy. And now we pick up for our update episode. While he's fucking sitting his keister ass in fucking Supermax prison.
Yeah, Supermax, United States Penitentiary Administrative Maximum Facility in Florence, Colorado, affectionately known as the Alcatraz of the Rockies.
Oh, wow. And he had a lot of buddies there.
Yep, got Dozar Tsarnaev, the Boston bomber.
The guy looks like Nick Turner.
Yeah. 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaou. Terry Nichols is still there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, from the Oklahoma City bombing.
Wow, what a fun cast.
Yeah, Robert Hansen, the FBI agent turned Soviet spy, he's still there.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
Rami Youssef?
Ramzi Youssef. Rami Youssef is Rami, a fit.
Rami's great.
Yeah, Rami's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I like Rami. I don't think he's in death row with fucking...
Yeah, Ramzi Youssef. The guy that was behind the first World Trade Center bombing, allegedly. That's what... Because that's the thing...
Try to get his money back?
Yeah. Because, like, Ted, no, not that, yes, Yes, the guy who tried to get his money back.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Ted Kaczynski did get to know all these guys, including Timothy McVeigh, until Timothy McVeigh was executed in Oklahoma. All these guys knew each other. They all hung out together.
Oh, yes.
And Ted Kaczynski, he always made sure to say, like, allegedly the mastermind behind the World Trade, the first World Trade Center bombing.
Because he believed him. He also was really, really close to Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah.
And they would send writings back and forth, and they got to be very friendly with each other. And I forgot one of the things that he sent him that was, like, wild to me.
Was it the books that they sent between
each
other?
Oh, yeah, the books that they sent back and forth.
Would they talk bombs?
I'm sure it came up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they, because Ted was all about the small bombs and Tim was about all the big ones.
Yeah. Now, these letters were all read before they reached the other person.
Not always.
No.
These letters were smuggled in between, like they were, you know, privately between, you know, attorneys or other inmates or paid off prison guards. You know, like, yeah, these letters between these guys were definitely not read by other people. They were only discovered later. Or Ted Kaczynski saying, like, yeah, I got this letter from Timothy. This is what we discussed. Here it is.
Yes, the book that they got was, he gave him a book. Timothy McVeigh gave Ted Kaczynski a book called Tainting Evidence Inside the Scandals at the FBI Crime Lab. And he was like, it was incredible because it was all about problems inside of the FBI and corruption inside of the FBI. He loved it because Ted Kaczynski fucking hates the FBI. But he said when he was really touched was right before Timothy McVeigh got fucking offed by the state. He fucking gave him a copy and smuggled in a copy of Into the Wild for Ted Kaczynski.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Ted Kaczynski just loved it.
Well, I guess it makes sense.
Right?
He would love it.
Because he spent most of his time
living in the woods.
And so it is interesting. So he's in this Supermax prison 23 hours a day. There's only one slit of light that goes in the ceiling, right? They have a little patch in the ceiling that they're allowed to look at because they can't even see the mountains. He's in the mountains of the Rockies. They're not allowed to see any of the Rockies just in case you can triangulate your position and communicate to people. They've never had anybody escape from this Supermax prison. But they said that Ted Kaczynski absolutely loves it. He doesn't like he said the food's not bad. He said some of the problems mostly been getting vegetables. And he said largely it was because he went from living in the shack to moving into the Supermax prison. And he loves his cell.
Yeah, the cell was bigger than the shack.
He loves it. You saw the shack.
I saw the shack. It was at the museum. Mm-hmm. They had it, which is now gone.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Which it was a great museum. You went? Did you go?
I wasn't able to go. But I heard it was $300 million in debt, and they had to shut it down.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have a chance.
You got to stop betting against the museum.
No one was there. But they did have the shack downstairs. But oddly enough, when I went there the same day, you can like look in it and stuff. It was pretty cool. But on the same day, I was bored and had nothing to do in DC. And I just like walked into the post office museum and they had a huge Ted Kaczynski exhibit.
You talked about this out. Like the post office uses the Ted Kaczynski, like the Unabomber story, being like, yeah, we do shit too.
Yeah, we fucking got this piece of shit. They're like, this is the postmaster's badge and gun that was there on the day of the arrest.
Shit. It's dangerous to be a mailman too.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the first crime they saw. Someone killed a horse during the Pony Express.
Do you know what they used the cabin? The reason why was that they airlifted the cabin up and out during the trial. It's because his defense team wanted to use the physical cabin as his, like, the evidence that Ted Kaczynski was completely insane. Because he was literally just, he was collecting his scat. He was doing all this shit because he didn't want anybody to know that he was out there. So he was just like, he was literally just sitting on buckets of his own fetid, rotting duke. And it was bad in there. And then
no toilet.
Yeah, dude.
Well, he had a hole that he opened up and pissed and shit into and then closed it back up again. And I'm sure that took care of the smell.
For someone who's so smart, how did he not get plumbing?
It's very difficult to do plumbing. Ask Rob. You could be an expert on a lot of things, and being a plumber is extremely difficult.
Yeah. Oh, man. So that guy was surrounded by two types of logs.
Eddytunes.com.
Yeah, the cabin where he lived for, 23 years.
Crazy.
Like, it was, he would just sit there in silence, so still that there was an outline of his body on the wall from the soot that came from his wood-burning stove.
Damn.
And they could even find, like, where he, like, sat, because the oils in his body had seeped into the wood so much.
Wow.
Like, it had his, like, footprints.
Did he not even have a chair?
Yeah. No, he had a chair, but, you know, you're sitting on the chair, and you're sitting, your feet are down on the ground, and your feet coming. Yeah, but no, it's his oils, his very essence, it's still in that fucking cabin.
Can you imagine that? Just fucking the oil from your feet skin staining the wood. That's how much your feet, your dirty feet, have been in one place for so long. Like that one girl they found, when the one that was attached to the couch.
They found a lot of people like that.
Oh yeah, the person attached to the toilet.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they cut the toilet off her. Now the
Ooh, yeah.
Rise from your grave.
I'm surprised he never blew himself up, because one of the things that was interesting to me is he wasn't really a great bomb maker.
He wasn't great at having them go off, or at least he wasn't great at having them make as big of a boom as he wanted.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he never blew himself up, because he was so careful. He knew what he didn't know, and he would rather risk the bomb not going off as big as he wanted it to, rather than experiment with bigger and bigger bombs.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so that's why it's 23 maimed and 3 killed instead of 28 killed.
God.
But he had a piece that none of us will ever understand. I love this quote from him when he talked about when he was living in the woods and what that time like was like for him. When I was living in the woods, there was an underlying feeling that things were basically right with my life. That is, I might have a bad day, I might screw something up, but I was a free man in the mountains, surrounded by forests and wild animals. Here, it's the other way around. I'm not depressed or downcast, and I have things I can do that I consider productive, like getting on working on my book. And yet, the knowledge that I'm locked up here and likely to remain so for the rest of my life, it ruins it. And I don't want to live long. I'd rather get the death penalty than spend the rest of my life in prison. Oh, well, it really turns, it really goes on a dime there.
This is great. You'd always talk about how peaceful the woods were, but it's like you're sitting there trying to kill people.
That's what was peaceful. What was peaceful? It's like all the birds, like, building your bomb, like just sitting there being like, oh, I like to, I normally like to pile my gasoline near the river so I can hear it babble, like as he's like building a pipe bomb while two squirrels, like he's feeding squirrels.
Yeah, I mean, in the Supermax prison, the biggest complaint that he had was that the hamburgers were overcooked.
Yeah.
It says, today again, I received an undercooked hamburger. Like some other inmates, I refuse to eat undercooked hamburgers. Undercooked meat can transmit diseases. For example, salmonella and tapeworm. Yet we often get undercooked hamburgers.
Shut up, Ted! Shut the living fuck up before I bash your head against the wall, Ted! You're gonna get what you get! You're the Unabomber!
Yeah, how good are the hamburgers in the fucking woods?
Shut up, Ted! Yeah, exactly. When was the last time you fucking had him? When was the last time you ran across a hamburger tree? Did you go to the Taco Bell Ravine? What are you fucking talking about?
No, I love what a former inmate at the Supermax said about him. He called him just a fucking weird little guy.
Yeah.
He said that he wouldn't even go outside, even when he was...
He has hour-long of recess every day, and he wouldn't take...
Yeah, all of them have an hour-long outs. And it's like, it's outside and the fact that you're just not in your cell anymore. Like, there's no grass. It's just another concrete room with sky. You know, a concrete room with no roof and a pull-up bar, and that's it.
Yeah, but the fucking, you gotta, who you gonna hang out with, you know? With Nichols? Like,
he was having a great time with Ramzi Youssef. He was having a great time with Timothy McVeigh. He would play, I believe he played chess with Sirhan Sirhan as well.
He was with Manson.
He was with Manson, but I believe they did male chess.
Oh.
I believe they would do, like, they're the most boring.
Is that all bishops?
Well, yeah, Kaczynski, I mean, his time in Supermax, like, it's kind of incredible to think that, like, because, you know, solitary confinement is torture.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolute 100% torture. And it's incredible to think that somebody could actually thrive in those conditions. He was just so, every interview that he gave when he was in Supermax, so serene, so calm, so confident.
Well, he was in isolation the entire time. They should have put him in Gen Pop.
Now, that would have been absolute torture for him.
It would have been done. Well, it's funny, yeah, because it's like in prison, I feel as an extrovert, prison would be hard for me. Because
they don't like funny guys.
Well, yeah, because I feel that my natural...
Because that's what he's always said. Like, if I ever go to prison, like, I'm just going to be the funny guy.
No, I've learned that is not a good person to be.
Yeah.
In prison, a lot of times it makes you... you're calling for attention that maybe you don't want to get.
Mm-hmm. And, you're so stabbable, too.
Yeah, oh, extremely. I just don't we want to be, I'm like the personality hire for the prison. Yeah. Like, don't we just want to have fun with it, guys? Come on, guys. Let's think about the vibe. You know, it's scheduled Fridays.
But the great thing is that he's got so much loose skin is if he got slashed, then they probably wouldn't hit any organs.
They would go for the organs. They'd know. They know how to kill. Yeah. I'm not worried about them finding my organs. But I feel that, yes, so as an extrovert, it would be difficult, but also
you
as a
person.
You could
be activities director.
Oh, absolutely. Kickball, not my balls. But also as a person that does need to recharge, I would find that prison would be sort of difficult for me mentally.
Yeah.
Because it'd be so hard to have your private time too. Where like Ted Kaczynski, at least he gets a lot of that. That's got to be because they don't like a funny guy. He's not funny.
Yeah.
So he must get along great. It's like how I was reading about how Bernie Madoff, people loved him in jail. They called him the Don.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he goes around, like, they give him shit.
Because he robbed a bunch of rich people.
And then he does everybody's taxes.
Yeah. And speaking of which, Bernie Madoff and Ted Kaczynski died in the same prison hospital within a month of each other.
Whoa!
Yeah. Isn't that nice? Just two ships that pass at night. But it's like, Ted Kaczynski must really love, like, he was perfectly suited for this. He's far away from everybody. He's not allowed to build his bombs anymore. I mean, I feel like it's also be nice to kind of give him a couple of things where he could fake build some bombs.
At least Legos.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I feel like he'd do something dangerous with Legos.
So, Ed, you said that funny guys don't do well in prison.
No.
Like, I mean, you spent a tiny bit of time in jail, but for prison, you spent a lot of time with Jeff Ross for the prison roast.
Yeah, but that was in jail.
That was a jail.
That also was
Brazos County Jail.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that's why some of the people are murderers, because they hadn't finished their trials yet. Yes. And so they were, they've since been convicted.
All right.
Yeah.
Do funny guys do well in jail?
I feel like jail's fine because everyone's getting out. Like when my time in jail, I only got like one joke off, but I was also very depressed.
Yeah. You shouldn't be.
So it was, I think if I was there another week, I probably would have been funnier. But
if you really knew the lay of the land, you could find out what all the guys, like what impressions everybody got.
Yeah, I definitely didn't shower the whole time I was there. I'm going to hold off as long as possible on this one.
Yeah.
Well, that's I was able to get out without one, so that was nice.
I do feel, email me to know this for certain, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com, but I do think that, well, what we know about Ted Kaczynski, that he's a stinky boy.
Yeah.
Right? I know that he does shower twice a week. He says he has sensitive skin, so they allow him to shower more, I believe.
Well, he actually showered less.
Is it less?
He showered less than he was allowed. He didn't like showering.
Oh, wow. Wow, no way.
I don't really like it either.
But you shower.
Yeah, I have to.
Yes, because you're a functioning member of society.
Yeah. And it feels good afterwards.
Yeah, I love showering.
It's like stretching. It sucks while you're doing it, but as soon as you're done, you're like,
I love showering and stretching. Yeah. I love shitting. I love showering and stretching. I wish I could do it all at once.
Massive inconveniences, all three.
I wish I could shit and shower at the same time.
I definitely stretch and shit. My asshole, that is.
But he was like, but I do think that there is a prison etiquette when it comes to smell.
Yeah, well, if you stink too much, they'll beat the shit out of you.
That's what I'm thinking, is that if you don't, like, I think that he probably must be in solitary confinement. I mean, he's fucking dead now.
At least isolation.
Yes, he would have to be away from everybody because he's smelly.
Yeah. Well, he might also be a naturally smelly person.
Oh, yeah.
Or just have a musk that's baked in.
And so absolutely. Can you imagine what his balls were like?
But they're fun.
Did he ever kiss anybody?
Yeah, remember he was working with his brother? Like, he got out of college.
Can you imagine Ted Kaczynski practicing kissing on his hand? Mr. and Mrs. Kaczynski. Mr. and Mrs. Angela Bassett Kaczynski. The hyphenate.
Yeah, because he was working with his brothers, like at his brother's company, and he went on a couple of dates with this girl, and she broke it off. And so he retaliated by leaving all of these like very mean notes about her all over the company. Thankfully, his brother came in early that day and was able to remove all the notes before everyone saw him. And then he fired Ted. And that was, I think, the last time that he saw him until they communicated through letters like here and there.
So mom's but, so happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He must have been so happy to fire his brother.
Oh, man. It had to have been horrible.
Ted's a problem. I've been rewatching The Jinx season 2.
Yeah.
And I feel like in that scenario, it's like what the rest of the family, but the rest of the Durst family has to deal with Robert. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah. Obviously, they've been trying to help him recover up shit, but mostly they just wish he'd fucking disappear.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like just being like, we are really sick of dealing with Robert.
Ted's a problem.
I think Ted's a problem.
Yeah, Ted's all. Yeah, because that's, you say never trust your in-laws, is that like Ted was definitely a problem to his brother's wife.
Yeah. 24/7. Yeah. Always being like, does Ted have to come to Christmas?
Yeah. Well, because he hated her without them meeting. And like, for some reason. Well, because he was probably in love with his brother.
I just didn't think he liked the ladies all too much.
Or it's like that Butthole Surfer song, I am not impressed with my brother's wife.
Yeah. It's not, and I'm not saying that he was like, not that he didn't like them sexually. I just don't think he enjoyed, probably in the asexual spectrum. And I don't think he enjoyed a lady.
I don't think he enjoyed anybody.
No. He was not. Well, no.
I mean, he liked environmental terrorists.
I think he loved Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah.
Him and Timothy McVeigh got along famously.
They really did get along well. Like, we're not joking about that. Like, him and Timothy McVeigh really got along well.
Like, genuine friends. Because, again, you know, like, it's like I like to talk to comedians because they get me.
They are the two most famous bombers, I guess.
I don't know if I'd put it that way. I'd say Osama bin Laden's still number one.
Well, yeah. But would you really consider him a bomber, though?
I would.
I wouldn't.
Well, I consider him a friend and a family member, and it's somebody I really look up to, but I also view him as a bomber. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't say he's a bomber, Ed.
I mean, he definitely set off, he had people set off bombs, but I don't think he ever built one.
He's an executive producer.
Yeah, he's not in the act. He's not sitting there with the screwdriver and the sand and the whatever.
He came up with the idea.
So you consider 9/11 to be a bombing?
There was a lot of gasoline.
I would say it's a bombing by plane. They used the plane as if it was a bomb.
Yeah.
I would say they used it more as a missile.
That's just a bomb.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Yes. Ooh, this could go on for hours.
I'm typing that into Google.
A missile is not a bomb.
I think we need to ask King Koopa. Because he had these
okay,
bombs,
all right, this is all fine.
Missile
this
bombs.
This is only correct because this is the most pedantic, fucking condescending thing. But the only reason why it's correct is because, yes, bombs are considered stationary, missiles do travel.
Yeah.
But they both blow up. So fucking if you throw a bomb, it's a missile.
Yeah, but no one leaves a missile on the subway.
Not yet. Not one that we don't. You don't think that they haven't tried?
Oh, excuse me. I have a missile-shaped bag.
This is my emotional support missile.
Actually, Ted Kaczynski did have... He had some feelings about 9/11.
He loved it.
Opinions.
Oh, yeah?
Well, he was mad that, I guess partially that he didn't do it.
It was more like he had opinions about the invasion of Iraq, the 2003 invasion of Iraq.
Yeah.
You know,
he liked it.
Yeah.
He said
Saddam Hussein could not go around willy-nilly making nuclear weapons.
I don't think all these petty little dictators around the world should be allowed to develop nuclear weapons.
Yes. So he was anti-Saddam Hussein.
He is a bomb expert.
Yes.
We have to listen to it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yes. He felt reasonably sure that the politicians' motivations for invading Iraq had more to do with their own egos and their own drive for power than any unselfish desire to prevent the harm that Saddam might do with his weapons program.
See, again, oddly correct.
But then he also said, though, which is also funny, is that he wanted to vote for Bush because he said the one thing that Bush was doing was he is opposed to stem cell research, which he supported.
But Gore was all environment.
He hated
it. That's his whole thing.
He didn't want it. Well, he said that he wanted to vote for Bush simply because he figured the reelection of an incompetent president and his irresponsible gang will help weaken the American system.
Yes. Oh, okay. So he's talking Bush.
He's doing the
first Kerry.
Yeah, dude. He's doing dirtbag left.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll teach Biden a lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's doing that whole bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he probably voted for Gore. No, he wasn't. He was already in prison.
He was I don't think he voted. I think the last time he voted was like 1972.
I don't think he's a big voter.
Yeah.
I feel like
he's not, you know, walking down the dirt road, stinking a mile away.
No, he's not registered to vote.
Yeah, dude. The idea of like he doesn't have a driver's license. He doesn't fucking. To be honest, I don't think he's allowed inside of like a domestic government building.
But he was a professor at Berkeley.
Yeah.
For a short period of time.
For a very short period. And
he's the Unabomber. He's not anything he was before the Unabomber doesn't count anymore.
Yeah.
He's the Unabomber.
Yeah, he's the Unabomber. Yeah. I mean, his biggest thing was when he was at the University of Michigan, which they still hold his papers to this day. There's like a Ted Kaczynski archive at the University of Michigan.
Talk
to this
about
day.
Not separating the art and the artist. So I gotta go break my Annie Hall DVD. But all these mathematicians are all fucking using Ted Kaczynski. Kaczynski's work. I hate Annie Hall. I don't even like Annie Hall, but still.
Yeah. But the, you know, you got all the, you know, all the Nazi guys came over.
Oh, we used all
us,
that shit.
You know,
but we rebranded it. That's the difference, is that we took it, we took the Nazis' names off of it, and then we put it, we whitewashed it through American systems. That's why we're allowed to use it. This has Ted's name on it. It says Theodore Kaczynski on the paper, and you still have to go K for Kaczynski. You have to go down to the fucking library and choose that.
It, USC still has OJ's Heisman.
I still feel like OJ is less... OJ, wow.
He only killed one less person.
How do you say it? Yeah. But
the maimings were pretty bad with Unabomber. If you talk to them, they were pretty badly maimed.
You see those poor fucks that tried to tackle OJ?
That is true. They got juked. They got juked and didn't, and isn't a maiming a type of juke.
God, that is true. It is a type of juke.
Man. So the people who got maimed by them, like, what's their, like, I mean, obviously... What's going on with all of them? I know there's 23 of them. Is there anything notable about any of them? Or?
I mean, well, you know, they were professors. Some of them were
airline executives.
They actually, Ted Kaczynski actually owed them a lot of money. They were owed, I think, like $15 million in restitution.
Yes.
And in order to pay that back, like, I mean, it's not like Ted had like stocks.
No. He had nothing.
They held an auction. Like, there was a full-on auction of all of Ted Kaczynski's, like, various personal effects.
God, I wish I could have gotten
$15?
No, dude. Okay.
I fucking wish I could have gotten that hoodie and the glasses, man.
Let's go through the items here.
Okay, this is wild.
Kaczynski's hoodie, sunglasses, and the other items that he wore as disguises.
The one.
The big, like, the shit,
I didn't realize
his costume.
Yeah.
It was real. No, it was real. They saw him.
Oh, okay.
$20,000.
Yeah,
$20,000.
He only had one hoodie. Hoodie?
But I guess so. Yeah.
But that was the hoodie.
He was minimalist.
Yeah. 20 grand. Okay.
Yeah,
that's not
grand.
Bad. So let's, $16,900,000.
His Harvard undergrad diploma and University of Michigan PhD diploma. That was sold. I don't have a price for that one.
Wow.
But the handwritten rough draft of his manifesto sold for just slightly more than the hoodie. That was $20,053.
That's it?
I mean, how much do you think it's going
to
get?
You see, what I would do with the first draft is I put a couple of gay sex scenes in there to see if people were really reading it.
One of the big ones, and I get this one selling for $22,000 because this is a hell of a display piece. His typewriter.
Oh, yeah. That's got Tom Hanks written all over it. He would love that. You'd give that to Chet just to sort of like connect with him on something.
A copy of his handwritten autobiography where he wrote about his decision to become a serial killer. That was $17,780.
So did he write that in prison?
No. This is all stuff that was found in his shack.
He wrote an autobiography before he got caught?
Yeah
dude. Yeah, he knew.
What else is he going to do?
He's got nothing
but
time.
He's got nothing else to do.
Yeah. His personal journals, this is interesting. Highest one, highest selling item, $40,676.
For all the journals?
For all of his personal journals.
Should have sold them individually.
There's a part of me that thinks that, like, obviously I'm not going to spend that. I mean, that's an obscene amount of money. No one should be spending that amount of money on anything that you can't drive or live inside of. But it's like... My estimation is like I'd spend some good change for the BTK journals.
Yeah.
Those are the type of stuff I've been pricing some stuff because I've been looking through
some murderabilia.
I don't do murderabilia,
but I do stuff like I was like bidding on LRH's personal Scientology handbook.
Ooh.
But once it gets literally like it, once it got past like $2,000,
oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
What am I going to spend this money on here? And it's like, what is Natalie going to do?
Yeah.
When she finds out that I'm spending multiple thousands.
I think I'd get mad.
Yeah, I'm not going to do this.
I'd also get like a little bit peeved.
Yeah, I just love it. Yeah. I mean, I want some more LRH stuff. I've been looking for LRH stuff, but it's very expensive.
Yeah.
Extremely expensive.
It's got to all be fake.
No.
And you're giving the money to Scientologists.
No, you wouldn't give it. Well, you give it to somebody who's outside. You'd be giving it to a squirrel.
The only thing that I actually thought about, like, that was, like, this level of price and, like, this level. But they were selling the Moog synthesizer that David Bowie used on Ziggy Stardust for $20,000.
I mean, that's crazy.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Like that, yeah, right? Yeah.
That's an investment.
No,
yeah, that's crazy.
True art that'll be worth something that you could sell to a museum.
But I still feel like
in value over
there. But I feel like I would get something like that just to play like hot cross buns on it once a time, like once a week, or like been like, oh man, I should have got Ozempic or something for this money.
No, I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
It's good to do it, but that to me, that's not murderabilia.
No. No, I'm just saying like an artifact.
Yeah.
You know, like a really cool artifact.
I'd buy the shed. I actually did want to bring up, too, about the guy called the Unitrucker.
The Unitrucker.
The guy that
great.
Was forced to move the cabin.
What are you talking about? Oh,
so the guy that moved it was this guy that was a truck driver. He got pulled over twice with the shack on the back of it as he was driving across the country, and then they let him go.
They didn't take it apart and put it back together?
No.
No, they had to do it like whole.
They had to dig it out of the ground. And then, but this guy, they afterwards got him a little license plate that said Unitrucker.
Oh, good.
Yes.
And that's what he drove around the country in.
It was fun.
His family, his kids got it for him.
It's fun. That'd be cool. I'd do that.
Well, in all, the auction, out of the $15 million that was owed to the family, $190,000.
There you go.
That's how much they got.
That's almost like $15 million.
Yeah, no, $190,000. I bet they probably got a couple of mortgage payments out of that.
Not much.
Live from your grave.
What piece of Ted Kaczynski memorabilia would you be interested in buying?
I am not interested in his legacy or any of his stuff. I personally
brown paper.
To be honest, I said it was the hoodies and the glasses.
Yeah.
The hoodie and the glasses.
Would you wear it?
Fun. Yeah, everywhere. I feel like when you got to try on Charles Manson's jacket.
Yeah, I forgot I got to try on Charles Manson's
jacket.
It
fit you? I didn't realize you're that tight.
It's so small.
Yeah.
He had a big jacket.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's not that it
fit. It was a big army jacket, right?
Yeah, it's not that it fit me well. It's that it fit him poorly.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was very, very small.
Yeah.
He was very small. But Ted Kaczynski, I find him to be mostly boring. I think that what's interesting about him is the fact that we helped create him,
yeah.
Much like my actual favorite bomber, Osama bin Laden, where we helped him get this way because we put him through the MK Ultra programming.
Yeah.
He was all jacked up. And I don't know, because you know what it is, too, is that, like, you still use the mail, which takes technology. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to do that, I don't know. I've always kind of viewed him as kind of a hypocrite.
I think it's fucked up. We get one Polish professor and it becomes the Unabomber.
No! There's a George Zabrowski.
Professor George Zabrowski? What's he fucking professor in pierogies?
Oh, fuck you! Fuck you, pierogies are an ancient!
He's a fucking professor of pierogies studies at fucking asshole dumb shit university.
Pierogies have a rich history!
But yeah, all of this sold through Heritage Auctions. This guy, John Hickey, said that the collectors, he said, guys certainly over 40 and maybe 50 and fairly affluent. They're going to want.
All right. I feel like there's racism there. Yeah. How dare you think that just a bunch of 40-year-old men are going to buy and spend a bunch of money that they're trying to spend instead of giving to their wife during their divorce settlement to buy murderabilia from Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah, how much did Kevin Costner get?
But Hickey is also a collector. He's sold Bonnie and Clyde wanted posters, sold John Dillinger's wooden gun. That's a cool artifact.
Okay.
And letters from Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I still don't like him. I'm just glad he's fucking dead. So now we know Ted Kaczynski, he died.
What
in
2023.
Do they do with his body? We've been, you know what I was interesting is that they have a new, have you seen the Ted Kaczynski fleshlight that they've made of his butthole? It's like horrible, horrible fucking like ant filled butthole.
Riddled with rectal cancer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He did. Yeah. He was riddled with rectal cancer, but he still offed himself. Cheap. Yeah. Yeah. He did. But he did, he wanted to take it into his own hands.
Well, that's the thing is that some people suspect that he may have been murdered.
Well, that's what they said. He may have been murdered.
After all these years.
After all these years that someone finally took it into their own hands because he died from suicide by hanging himself with a shoelace from the handicap rail, and his death brought upon questions of how he was able to have access to shoelaces, especially because this was right after Jeffrey Epstein's suicide, and security was ramped up considerably. Mm-hmm. And if he was depressed, as they said he was, he would have been monitored 24/7. They would have removed dangerous items, but most likely just no one gave a fuck about an 81-year-old serial killer who had stage 4 rectal cancer.
Yeah. I legitimately think that let's I'm gonna say generously that they were not watching him with as much attention as they were before.
Yeah, he's got to be boring as fuck, and people are sneaking him letters from the Oklahoma City bomber. I'm sure they can get him a shoelace.
He obviously was planning this for a while. He got the I imagine and that having not only is rectal cancer not fun,
yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. I think that having it in prison is worse.
Yeah.
And it's right.
Yeah. Well, he did spend the last year and a half of his life. He did not spend it in the Supermax prison.
No, he was in a hospital.
He was the Federal Medical Center Butner in Butner, North Carolina.
Yes. Of course, they're like, he's got rectal cancer. Let's send him to fucking Butner.
That's where all our top butt-based officers are. We've got Mr. Dr. Reginald Heine. He's mostly trying to see if your poo-poo's brown enough.
Oh, man. Emergency responders perform CPR.
On him?
On him, yeah. They have
just
to.
Just go the, can we get a tube or something?
You're not supposed to do the breaths, is what I heard. When I took my CPR classes, so like the breaths are kind of a waste of time. If you're going to get them restarted, just keep hitting the chest.
Hey, yeah. Man, don't tell all our fucking horny-ass lifeguards, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Fucking, I do lips first, dude. Fucking blowing my dick, man. See if the air can get into my fucking balls. Fuck you, Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah, why are you trying to resuscitate him?
Pushing his beard away to get to his lips. Ugh. And having him like, and if I was him, if I had any left inside of me, I'd do one last, like,
yeah.
Oh, you want to fuck? You want to kiss Ted Kaczynski? Oh, I see what it out is. Mr. EMT, man, you're horny for the Unabomber, huh? Yeah, get it. You want it for the Unabomber? It's just fucking going in there, dude. Fucking woo. Tongue kissing him. And then the fuck, I'd be mad.
Complained about rectal bleeding in 2021. Got transferred to Butner, yeah. And then he got biweekly rounds of chemotherapy, and in 2023 decided that the chemotherapy was too much, and he decided he would rather bleed out of his asshole to death.
He got chemo for 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Why?
Because
biweekly rounds. It was about a year and a half.
It was because it was available.
Yeah, it's available. I mean, yeah, we did, you know, prisoners, no matter how, but we kind of talked, we touched on this a little bit with Catherine Ramsland.
They deserve.
You have to, what you give one, you must give all.
Oh, yeah, like, Bill Cosby's personal trainer in jail has made him look incredible. When he got out of jail, like, all of a sudden, Bill Cosby, he's hot.
Fucked up because there's people out of jail that can't afford chemo.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's awful.
We know, I do believe that we do need to treat prisoners fairly. We know this. That is the last.
Then they shouldn't get health insurance.
You know that we should treat them fairly, and it's important for them to be taken care of in that way. But yeah, Ted Kaczynski, he might not have deserved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No, I think that we could give, I feel like, you know, who's in jail that doesn't necessarily deserve to be jail? Like back in the day, like Rosa Parks. Right?
I don't know if she didn't go to prison.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. Who's in jail that, like, we're sad about that they're in jail?
I mean, Nelson Mandela was...
He's fine.
That was a tough one.
He's fine.
I mean, he's dead now.
Yeah. Wasn't Mahmoud Abdul...
Jabbar?
Jabbar.
Who's that? Kareem Abdul Jabbar's...
No.
Chef?
Mumai Abu Jamal.
Who's that?
He was a cab driver that was convicted of murder, but he was innocent.
Wow.
Yeah, I learned about him from Rage Against the Machine.
Wow, yeah, Tom Morello, man.
Yeah, I read the book in high school and was like, man, system's fucked.
Tommy Chong shouldn't have been in jail. Dude.
No. Yeah, that was a fucked up one, sure.
I want anybody's fucking serves leave.
Yeah, man.
Should be free, dude.
Amen. Last Prisoner Project.
Yeah, we're still fucking with Last Prisoner Project and they do great, but they didn't do anything for Ted Kaczynski.
Well, he didn't smoke enough weed.
Nah, dog, because if he did, dude, if he fucking did, he'd be fucking chill, dude.
He definitely would have blown himself up.
And that's also what's really important for weed.
Yeah.
I think that's an important point to make about weed is that it does make our soon-to-be serial bombers lazy.
Any serial killers get stoned?
Yeah, Richard Ramirez, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Gacy got sucked.
John Wayne Gacy loved it. Yeah, a lot of them did. Yeah, weed didn't help them, no.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Well, there goes that argument.
Yep.
Yeah, I do wonder sometimes if Ted Kaczynski had gotten the acid experiments of MKUltra instead of the straight psychological torture, if it would have turned out differently.
I don't know.
Because do you know Ted Kaczynski's MKUltra experiments?
I had no idea.
Yeah, he was a part, because, you know, MKUltra had a lot of different arms, a lot of different tentacles. There were a lot of people that were doing MKUltra experiments that didn't even know that they were a part of MKUltra.
They were basically taking money from the U.S. government that was MKUltra money, but it was hidden, essentially.
Yeah.
So what happened to him at, like, University of Michigan or something?
It's University of Michigan. Because remember, he went to university when he was 16, 15, something like that.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
Harvard.
Harvard. Yeah, and so he participated in this psychological study where he told this professor his deepest fears, his darkest thoughts, you know, everything, like everything that, you know, made him feel bad, every single little thing. Mm-hmm. And then that professor, as a test, took everything that Ted told him and then mercilessly mocked him with it and just made fun of him. And just absolutely, because the idea was like, we want to destroy someone's ego. We want to destroy someone's psyche.
Yeah, this is 16-year-old genius and ruin him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's so fucking aggravating.
And they did it. And many people point towards this is why Ted Kaczynski ended up being such an antisocial personality.
Oh, yeah.
Is because he was absolutely destroyed as a child.
Yeah. And that's why you're only supposed to roast the ones you love.
Yeah.
Because you should be out of love.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, actually, think of it like that. Think of it as the most psychologically devastating roast you could possibly think of, but without jokes.
Yeah,
just insulting you.
Did he know he was a part of MKUltra?
No. He didn't know that this was the experiment.
Oh,
but he.
When did he find out?
When they started insulting him.
Yeah, years after the fact. But he never knew it was an experiment.
No,
yeah. We know. As a society, that he went through that, he had no idea till way after.
Yeah,
if he even did,
probably. Yeah, if he found out in prison,
because I'm pretty certain that did not come out until the 2000s.
Yeah, that was a fairly recent discovery.
God, what's that like? Just sitting in prison because you're a piece of shit, and you're like, oh, it's not my fault.
It's not. Yes, that's what I would do. I'd be like, yes, like, yeah, get my lawyers on the goddamn phone.
Yeah, but the man's dead, and that's it.
I hate him. I hate him and I never liked him.
Nope.
I want that on the record.
Yeah.
That if he could be dead twice, I'd like that as well.
It's hard enough being a goddamn mailman.
It's hard enough to be Polish.
Yeah.
Well, the last thing they tried sticking to Ted Kaczynski was the Chicago Tylenol murder.
Yeah, that's what they were trying to, at the very end, they thought that they, because the Chicago Tylenol murders, in which, I forgot how many people?
Seven died, people.
And it was the basically...
Yeah,
the
they thing. Poisoned a bunch of Tylenol with the Tylenol factory. They never figured out who did it.
And we still don't know who did it.
Well, they don't know if they did it at the factory. They don't know if people just opened up the bottle.
Well, there's a guy that it's obviously who it probably is.
Yeah.
But they don't, they have no actual proof.
Yeah. But yeah, he provided a sample and he said he never had any potassium cyanide, which, you know, you had to have.
You had to have that.
Yeah. But the FBI never confirmed if Kaczynski was or was not involved, but probably not.
No, he would have to talk to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, he couldn't hold on to a job like yeah. that.
Did he work at the Tylenol factory?
He would be terrible in a factory.
If he worked at a Tylenol factory, then I, you know, we could talk about it.
He's not a good employee.
No.
Ted Kaczynski would not be. I would not want him on staff.
Well, apparently he was. They were trying to keep him when he quit Berkeley.
Yeah, he was a teacher.
Yeah.
But even that, they said he wasn't a very good teacher. They said he would monologue at everyone, and he was just, he was not a personable man. He was not a charming man. He didn't have, like, that way about him.
God, I'd feel so mad if he was my teacher.
Oh, yeah, he'd be really angry, yeah.
I'd just be, God damn it. Did I just gotta throw that whole semester out?
No, because they still haven't thrown away any of his papers and stuff. He was actually very good at his mathematician job. Mm. He actually was poor at being the Unabomber.
Yeah, actually, he was better at being a mathematician than he was at being the Unabomber.
Yeah, he was actually bad at being the Unabomber. If you look at ratio of hits to non-hits.
Oh, I mean, but yeah, we got away with it for so long.
But yeah, but that doesn't matter if it's, it took a long time for him to make the bombs.
Yeah, if you just would have not talked to his brother.
That's all he would have had to have done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he sent his mom a practice manifesto.
I forgot about that. I actually did forget about that. But, you know, that's why our audience, if you're going to go out there and you're going to be a mass bomber, number one, don't.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. But if you were, I probably can't even joke.
No, I don't think you can.
Well, let's take it back. Let's take it back.
I think we're going to go ahead and say none of our listeners should be bombers of any kind.
I agree.
Even if you work for the government.
Especially, yeah. I say, if you're a bomber for the government, fucking quit, dude.
Yeah, man.
Fucking quit. Fucking get into making spaghetti.
They got you in those drone huts, man. Timothy McVeigh's house was bigger than your goddamn drone hut.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. And yeah, if you want to make bombs, go watch. There's this Instagram woman that I love that she makes medieval food.
Oh, yeah.
And she makes like really nice
That's
like,
what
soups
I like.
And,
yeah.
and pies. And she's got a very nice, calm, soothing voice. Like, go do that.
I watched a thing that was a lot of people making food from Roman times.
That's nice. No, I think
I
she
love
calls,
spaghetti.
I think she calls it like the Hungry Tavern or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that.
It's really fun. But yeah.
Or just do a bunch of whippets and choke yourself a masturbate. You can do that.
Yeah, you can also do that too.
I actually think that's a really good way to, you know, get some steam.
Just don't use shoelaces.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you. Well, another incredible episode. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you so much.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gein.
Continue just to subscribe to this app.
Hail the mailman.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Hail the mailman.
Hail the mailman.
Hail the mailman.
Hail the mailman.
Stamps. Stamps. So many stamps.